You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Two Victoria University academics are calling for a reset on New Zealand's diplomatic approach to the Pacific. Father-daughter duo Michael and Anna Powles have released the first in a series of research into how New Zealand can produce a better relationship with its Pacific neighbours. I spoke with Michael earlier today about this and began by asking him how New Zealand has come to change how it deals with the Pacific.
I mean, it's been, in a sense, a gradual process, but ever since countries in the Pacific, island countries in the Pacific, began to get independence, and of course Samoa was the first of them, gradually they have wanted to assume more and more control over their own regional affairs. In the days of, well, back before independence, of course, it was the old colonial powers who dictated what went on. And then in the early years of independence, in the case of the Pacific Islands Forum, or South Pacific Forum, as it was called then, Australia and New Zealand, not necessarily with terribly bad motives, but they tended to lead the way and to some degree direct the way. After a while, since countries in the region have become used to being independent and have got more confidence, quite sensibly and quite naturally, they're wanting to assume, take over the driving, the steering wheel or the driving controls much more. Not happy to have Australia and New Zealand necessarily leading the way so much. And this is a very significant change, and it comes out in all sorts of issues affecting the Pacific, affecting Pacific countries. It comes out in relation to climate change and what needs to be done on climate change. It comes out on trade policy areas. It comes out in relation to the remaining decolonization issues in the Pacific, which are mostly relate to French colonies. It comes out in numbers of ways. It comes out in the way in which aid is handled. And of course, is a natural reaction on the part of countries like New Zealand and Australia, which formerly, as I say, were in the driving seat, to be a bit defensive. What Anna and I feel very strongly is that we need to be more supportive of this increased determination. I was going to say desire, but it's really determination on the part of Pacific governments and Pacific leaders to control their own region. Of course, so far as New Zealand's concerned, it is our region too. We are a South Pacific country. But we shouldn't be trying to determine other people's futures. Determining our own should be enough for us. So that's, I'm not sure if that's a nutshell or not, but that's a bit of what it's all about.
Yeah. And I mean, I guess, yeah, you mentioned decolonization, and that was, you know, a huge priority, and I guess a part of the reason we were so involved in the Pacific. Yeah. So I'm wondering where our role lies now in securing the Pacific and playing, you know, a role as a Pacific nation. If we're not, if we're no longer, you know, freeing these nations to be self-determinatory, I mean, what exactly needs to be done on New Zealand's part?
I think we need to be supportive and need to recognise that the people in the region want to determine their own future. This is actually what decolonisation was all about from the very start. Initially, it related to individual countries becoming independent and controlling their own futures, although there was always a bit of interference with that as well. But these days, it's a case of the region itself and the members of it determining how they want to handle things in the region. And I think New Zealand and Australia should be a little bit more supportive. I think that New Zealand, in its good moments, tries to be, but not all its moments are good moments. And I think we need to try harder to support the aspirations of the Pacific Island countries and not to try and tell them that they should develop the way we think they should develop.
So another thing that you and Anna mentioned is that as New Zealand and Australia have stepped away, in a sense, from the Pacific, now there's relationships being cultivated with these superpowers, China and Russia,
yep,
and so forth. And so the Pacific are reaching out in ways that previously they didn't. Do you think this is, I mean, what does this mean? Is this necessarily a bad thing?
Yeah, that's a nice big question. But at the very beginning, you referred to Australia and New Zealand stepping away. I don't think there is any question of New Zealand stepping away. I think our role changes, but we don't step away, actually. But on the question of involvement of new big powers like China, there was a conference in Samoa a couple of years ago on China's role in the Pacific, and it was partly organized by a strange little university down in Wellington called Victoria University, which you guys in Auckland would not have heard of. but it was done arranged between Victoria University and the National University in Samoa. And the whole subject was the question of Chinese involvement in the region. And what was interesting in all that was, especially to people, well, to me anyway, was the confidence that Pacific Island leaders and politicians and so forth were prepared to display in dealing with China. We are inclined to think, or we used to, in a somewhat patronizing colonial kind of way, we used to suggest that Pacific Islanders would get rolled over by the Chinese. They really didn't have the organizational capacity to handle the Chinese. I mean, that was sort of patronizing old neo-colonial thinking, really. What's reasonably clear now is that, sure, there'll be problems from time to time, but on the whole, Pacific Island countries are quite confident and quite pleased. And it gives them additional choices, of course. They don't have to just have Australia, New Zealand, some European aid and so forth to choose from and relationships to choose from. They can make some different choices. And in the aid field, that's really quite valuable to them, because Australia and New Zealand and the Europeans tend to make their aid conditional on sort of conditions relating to good governance and so forth in the region, which is a desirable aim, although some of us think it's not necessarily the right way to go about things. But the Chinese, on the other hand, they don't impose those kinds of conditions. And so it's quite possible for countries to have new options and to appreciate those new options. There are some problems in the interaction of Chinese business people in particular in the Pacific, and there are quite a lot of Chinese migrants in some parts of the Pacific, and that's a sensitive area, and there are difficulties, but with some good sense on the part of China, both China and the Pacific Island governments, they should be able to be handled.
And overall, I mean, you've called this a reset, you know, a
yep.
call for a reset on how yep. New Zealand approaches its relations with the Pacific.
Yep.
I mean, and this is the first part of what is it, a series of
well, what that article does is explains what we think is the sort of the broad reasons for needing to have a reset, and then we hope to produce a book which would go into significant detail on the subject. And it would not be damning everything that's going on. There are some very good things going on. For instance, the labour mobility scheme, which enables Pacific Islanders to come and work in New Zealand and send money back home and so forth. And there are numbers of other really good things going on, which we don't want to suggest should be tampered with. But there are other things which we do think should be changed. And it's premature for us to try and list them now, but they relate to the way, some ways in which aid is delivered. They relate to, as I indicated earlier, the way we handle our regional relationships. I don't think we should assume that we're a leader in the Pacific Islands forum anymore. And also in important areas like fisheries and seabed resources, there are numbers of things which can usefully be looked at carefully, and I think some variation of or change or resetting of the kinds of policies that we pursue would be desirable.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.